Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We are back in the studio in Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Reunited, and it feels so good. And finally getting back to, not having the 3-hour time difference, which is really, I wasn't even over there that long, and it was just, it's messing me up. So anyway, but we are here with our guest, Dory. Who do we have?
We have Corey Long, who covers the Lightning for NHL.com. You can catch all of his takes, his stories and game recaps. He puts up very quickly after games, I would like to add, on the NHL.com. Corey, how can everybody follow you on Twitter?
At Corey Long, at CoreyLong. I was a early bird to Twitter, so I got my full name on there.
And you don't have to add any crazy underscores. The underscores drive me nuts.
Oh, yeah, they're the worst. Yeah, no underscores, no hashtag, no exclamation points, no first, no middle initials or anything. So,
all right, so let's just get right into it with the Gord extension. It's interesting because he's had such a really, really good year so far. I've been very excited by how well he's played. To me, he's like that Lightning player this year that everybody's like, oh, huh, okay, good job, Yanni Gord. He played phenomenal at the end of last year, and it kind of carried over. So what are your thoughts on his huge – I mean, this is a really big extension.
Yeah, I mean, you're making a big commitment when you're talking – well, we're talking 6 years at over $5 million a year, but – you know, the body of work has earned it from, you know, he came on late in the 2016-2017 season, did a good job. You know, he was a bubble guy going into last season, but he stuck with the team all year. You know, had tremendous production, I think 64 points, and great playoffs. You know, he's one of the best forecheckers on the team, one of the high-energy guys. Really, in a lot of ways, he's, within the room, you know, he shows great leadership skills. And, you ladies know that, you know, when you're in the room, certain guys are the guys that you go to when in tough situations. Like, who's the player you're going to talk to that – you know, kind of is going to take accountability for a struggle or for a rough night. And Gord is one of those guys. And at 26 years old, and given that he hasn't had a lot of time in the league, you know, that's very impressive that he has that sort of maturity. So I couldn't be happier for him as, you know, just, you know, person to person that, you know, he's an undrafted young man. He's worked hard. You know, he had to, you know, scratch and claw just to get into the American Hockey League, much less the NHL. So for him to just continue to believe in himself and work hard and to do the things that he needed to do to stay in the league and become, you know, not just stay in the league, but become an extremely productive player, it's very impressive. It's a great credit to the organization for how they develop players and how they find players like this, how they can find these guys that have these character traits that they're able to take advantage of these opportunities.
Yeah, Julien Brisebois, there was a quote that came out that says, Yanni personifies our team's identity with his speed and relentlessness on the ice and a strong character off of it. He's proof of how far hard work and dedication can take you, and we look forward to continuing his career in Tampa Bay. I mean, obviously, they find great value in those character traits.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at an undrafted player. You know, obviously, Johnson was obviously St. Louis really is the standard bearer for that type of player, being a little undersized, being undrafted. But, you know, they've had success with Johnson. They've had success with Palat wasn't undrafted, but I think he was a 7th-round pick. So these, I think there's guys, and you know, we all keep a close eye on their farm system. But there's a guy down there, Alex Barry-Boulet, who we all kind of are interested in to see how he develops. And he's another one along that lines, you know, undrafted, undersized, but has an incredible skill set.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that, you brought up Johnson, the one thing that people may not, maybe the average fan, unless you're, you know, they're constantly, you know, stalking the team. No, they love it. Do it. Go to the practice. They love it. I'm being serious. The one thing that I think that Johnson has always epitomized to me, and I feel the same way with Yanni Gourde, is it's not the attitude of I'm just happy to be here. It's the attitude of I have this opportunity and I'm not going to blow it. I'm going to do whatever I can to constantly get better. And I think the both of them have that attitude about them, that they're just, you know, I had this opportunity, the Lightning gave it to me, and I'm going to do everything in my power to get us a cup.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love about Gourde as a line mate is I feel like his work ethic is infectious. You're not gonna go out there and loaf around if you're on a line with Yanni Gourde because he's working so hard. That's what really makes the chemistry that he has with Braden Point so great, because they're very similar types of players in their effort. Obviously, you know, Point probably a little bit more refined, a little bit more skilled in all areas, but in terms of the effort that they put out, it's equal. And you see Tyler Johnson has a lot of success with those two, because I think, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, it lights a bit of a fire under him. You see these two young kids working hard. They're not the biggest out there, but they play big. They play physical. They're forechecking. They're doing whatever it takes to add an element of success to the team that they need to win. And you want to be part of that. You don't want to be left behind.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to get to your thoughts on the lines in a little bit, but we want to jump in and talk about the last, I guess we'll say the last week. It's kind of hard to say that because it's not really, you know, numerically like a week. It's just been kind of the last few games, we'll say, especially the home. When they play the Devils, I have to tell you something. I was really looking forward, and CT was too. We were really looking forward to that game because I thought it was a really, we both felt it was a really good playoff series last year between them. We get to see this Devils team that kind of found who they were, and they're exciting. They're a very exciting team to watch. And I thought, man, this is going to be a hard fought battle. Really looking forward to this. And then it wasn't really a hard fought battle. You know, 8 goals is a lot of goals. I mean, that's like a football score. So talk to us of your thoughts about the Devils and how, you know, they really stepped up to the plate and just, I mean, they went crazy.
But let's be real. They were coming off a 7-1 loss in Arizona. I mean, granted it was a back to back, but I mean, how do you go from a 7-1 loss to an 8-3 victory over a team that you had not a lot of trouble with, but a little bit of trouble with in the playoffs?
Well, first, you know, with the Devils, you know, we all can agree this isn't the Devils team that we had to suffer through in our college years when they were, you know, when they were playing that horrible neutral zone trap and, you know, we were getting about 40 shots a game total and, you know, a lot of 2-0, 2-1 sort of, you know, really, really downer of playoff game. So it's much nicer. You know, the team that they have right now is very, very fast, very fun to watch. They create a lot of opportunities. You know, sometimes you just have those games. And I felt that way after the loss to Arizona. It was a situation where, all right, fifth game on a roadie, they performed extremely well up to that point. I think they were 3-0-1 and, you know, going into that game. And, you know, Domingue got a couple of bad breaks and, you know, you just had the Hedman-Pilat injury. So there was a lot happening, you know. A lot happening. You know, you're a tired team, two major injuries, backup goalie not getting some breaks, and at that point, everything that could go wrong went wrong. So you flip to Tuesday, the Devils game. Right away, 6 minutes in, it's 2-0 Jersey.
I know.
And that wasn't to say the Lightning played bad during that stretch. That Jersey just made a couple of nice plays to get out to a quick lead. But, you know, when you're down 2-0, you don't look to anybody else other than Braden Coburn.
yeah, because that's the logical place to look.
Yeah, bottom line is when you're down 2, you need a goal. Braden Coburn is a guy you look to. And he delivered again, like he always does in that situation.
It was impressive.
You know, with all, I think 44 of his career goals, and, you know, it's been a very long career. I think he had 10% of his career goals on Tuesday night. So, Yeah, so, and I think what happened was, you know, Coburn gets a goal, and you know, they're a mature team. The idea that they were down 2-0 early, but didn't really play bad. It was a very good start on both sides, I thought. But you get into that second period, the early goal, then the special teams gets hot. You get a, I think Devils got hit on a double minor. You get a power play goal. You get a Stamkos goal on 5-on-3. And all of a sudden, you know, the floodgates are going to open up. And that's what happens with a team. That's the great thing about this team is that that can happen any night. There's just that much – there's that much scoring touch. There's that much talent on the roster that if they get hot and they're seeing the puck and they're aggressive and they're on the puck and they're able to get it in the places they need to – you know, 6-7 goals isn't it's not out, you know, 6-7-8 goals it's not out of the question. But I like you was one looking forward to this game. I knew it was going to be part of the Devils' first real road trip of the season, and I was also expecting just a tremendous game. And you know, and to me, 8-3 probably, you know, a little unfair. I think the Devils played a little better than to lose 8-3. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, the special teams, they got caught in the box, you know, early in the second period, and that's when the Lightning poured it. Oh, that was, you know, that three-goal stretch. That, you know, they had 5 unanswered goals and 3 in the second, early in the second. It's 5-2 is just not a deficit you come back from a lot in the NHL, especially not against, you know, when Andrei Vasilevskiy is the goalie on the other side of the ice.
We are talking with Corey Long of NHL.com. So I think you have a really good point. You said something and it kind of triggered something in my brain real quick. And that is, I've noticed that when Stamkos scores, it kind of makes everybody else go, yes, I'm going to score. No, I'm going to score. It really is like it feels like that's what happens when the guy, I almost called him a kid. Oh my gosh.
He's not a kid anymore.
Oh my gosh, he's not a kid anymore. But it really kind of feels like he does kind of pick the team up a little bit. When one does go in and listen, he's heavily covered. It's not like people aren't letting him or Kucherov just hang out, wandering around, leaving him open like that. But, you know, after that five on three goal, it seemed like, oh, it kicked him up a notch.
Yeah, I don't know when the captain scores, and he's had some struggles. I mean, his goal-scoring struggles have gone. You know, we can go back to the final, you know, to before the injury that he had late last season. And, I mean, I thought he had a pretty strong playoff overall.
Mm-hmm, I did, too.
The power play. Excuse me. But, you know, the goal-scoring struggles have been there. So it's always good to see the captain get a goal, to get it on the power play, to get it in the spot that we're used to seeing, the hard wrist shot, the great one-timer, the shooting accuracy that he still has. You know, he still has it. He's not, unfortunately, you know, he probably can't bring it every game like he used to. But, yeah, absolutely, it does. The guys who scored the goals, and they did fire up the bench. The Coburn goals were just – God, those guys went nuts when he scored his second goal because it was his first two-goal game since Halloween of 2009.
Well, speaking of, like, you know, how Stamkos, once he starts scoring, he really comes alive. I mean, he had that game against the Devils, and then against Montreal, he had a two-goal game. But he's on the line with Cooch and I believe Miller. So, but that means that the triplets, you know, obviously with Palat being out, the triplets aren't together. So do you like the triplets together and then Stamkos being with whoever, or do you prefer the Cooch Stamkos Miller lot? Like, it's kind of like, oh, which one do we want more? You know, kind of like we have so much to work with here. What do you like better? But I'm just curious, like, do you like when the triplets are together, or do you like when you see Cooch on a line with Steven?
I like the changes that were made when they were made that brought the triplets back together, that put Stamkos on a line with Point and Gord. I felt like a lot of things were accomplished with that. I felt like Gord and Point were going to be able to really, really, you know, Stamkos isn't what he was defensively. He's never been a great defensive player necessarily, but, you know, the deficiencies start to show up a little bit more at this stage in his career. And Point and Gord are so good in that aspect, if they can cover for some of his deficiencies a little bit better than Kucherov and Miller can. And you put the triplets back together, and you saw right away Tyler Johnson's production went up significantly. A, he got to play center again. He's playing the wing when he's with point guard. And so he get a chance to play center again. Plus those three guys, they can, you know, they can just pick up where they were left off. And what happened? You know, obviously the Pelot injury caused some changes. What might have happened any other time was that I always look at Killorn kind of as the unofficial fourth triplet. You know, you can kind of put him in any one of those spots, and he seems to really gel well with those guys. But that third line with him and Joseph and Sorelli has been such a great two-way line. You didn't want to mess with that. So, you know, it did what they had to do. It was not – this was – I think – I don't know if this was necessarily the line change, you know, the line adjustments that Cooper wanted to make. But when you look at things, you don't want to break up the third line. Miller – you know, Miller got dropped down to the fourth line, and he had been doing some decent things down there. I mean, they put him with Callahan strategically in hopes to kind of get his energy level back up. So, you know, I think for him, he goes down to the fourth line. He's playing a little better. Bumping him back up to the first line was probably a good thing for his confidence to let him know that, you know, okay, I'm being rewarded. You know, they're acknowledging that, you know, I took this demotion and I took it well. And, you know, so right now, you know, it's just am I a fan of the Kucherov, Stamkos, Miller line long term? Not really, because there are a lot of bad habits on that line. You know, they just are. You know, at times you know guys are just, they're just not going to get their defensive assignments now, and they're going to turn the puck over at times. But when they're good, they're very good, and they were very good at points, especially for JT Miller. They were very good for him last year when he came over the trade deadline, and they can be good for him now. So from a Miller standpoint, I think it's a good thing that he, as long as he keeps his energy level up, he'll be okay. Kucherov and Stamkos together, it's a high risk, high reward situation there. Mm. You know, just because if they're not at least trying defensively some nights, it can be, you know, they're going to put a lot of pressure on the blue line.
Right.
So I expect we'll see when Pelot comes back. I'll be curious what he does. Does he go back to the triplets? You know, and then you're putting Point back on the wing by moving him up with Stamkos. I don't think that's a big deal to Point. I think he's really comfortable at either spot. I don't think he has to be the center. I think, you know, eventually, you know, in a perfect world, you'd almost want to move Stamkos to the wing and let Point be the center. But that's not, you know, they can't do that right now because Stamkos doesn't want to play a wing spot. But it'll be interesting. Again, it'll be interesting to see when Pelot comes back how they make that adjustment there.
All right, we're speaking with Corey Long of NHL.com. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We're speaking with our good friend of NHL.com, Corey Long. Hey, Corey. So we kind of talked about the lines and kind of the inconsistent consistency, whatever that is. But let's talk about the Predators, because they were in that building last week. Everybody on NHL radio was talking how, like, this could be a preview of the Stanley Cup final, and this is going to be a hard-fought game, and blah, 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 blah. And I agree with them, but what is it about the Predators that just kind of, I don't know that we can work around?
Well, for starters, Pekka Rinne is 8-0-1 against the Lightning, so...
Okay, so get rid of Pekka Rinne, number one.
Yeah, so
check.
If you can listen to trade Pekka Rinne, that would solve a lot of the problems.
He's a great goaltender. I mean, you can't take that away from that guy. I mean, he's just phenomenal.
And some goaltenders just play, you know, I mean, you know, I don't want to jump too crazy ahead, but look at Vasilevsky and the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, some goaltenders that just, and I feel like that about Rene. I feel like he just, the Lightning are, you know, his that's it for him.
And, you know, he was coming off the IR. He had been out for 2 weeks. So you weren't sure what Pekka Rinne you were going to get. But early in that game, he saves, you know, Point has a great scoring opportunity to rebound. He just, you know, he drops his stick. He sticks his pad out there, makes an incredible save. He completely robs Joseph on a point-blank shot that really should have been a goal. And right away, you know, okay, it's going to be one of those nights. You know, and it was. And to, you know, I don't want to sit here and say the Lightning, but I thought they played a heck of a game.
Yeah.
They generated a ton of scoring chances in the second period. It's, you know, it goes to the old baseball terminology. Sometimes, you know, when there's a great pitcher out on the mound, there's a great goal, you're not going to beat them, period. Doesn't
right.
matter what you do, you're not going to get one over on them this particular night. That's what happened. Pekka Rinne was just too good. He was better than what the Lightning put out. Lightning put out some great chances. Mm-hmm. Pekka Rinne was better than them.
Yeah, the 4-1 score doesn't really reflect the kind of game it was. I thought it was a really interesting game. I felt like I was watching a playoff game.
Absolutely.
So if we and when you think about it, we have Palat and Hedman out. So
yeah.
On top of all of that, we were still able to compete. I wasn't disappointed with the effort at all. Like you said, the difference maker was Pekka Rinne in their net.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, and it's just, you can't something sometimes you just can't.
Catch a break.
You know, during the course of a year, you're going to get great goalie performances. Again, every team's going to get, you know, going to get stoned by a great goalie performance. But that guy against the Lightning is just too good.
Yeah.
He just, and it's clear, I mean, and talking with him after the game, he's your typical Scandinavian, you know, very humble, very quiet, soft-spoken guy, but you can tell by the words that he gets up for playing the Lightning.
Yeah.
It's a game that he particularly enjoys. It's a team that he loves to play. He knows he's going to be busy. He knows they have great talent, and that's why he won the Vezina Trophy. You know, it doesn't happen by accident.
No, it doesn't.
He's a great player.
Yeah, he definitely is the difference maker for them. So hopefully, if we do meet them down the road this season, we can figure him out a bit. We kind of touched on the blue line play, the guy who's really kind of the guys as a whole of a defensive core has really stepped up in the absence of Victor Hedman. Like we talked about in the first segment, Braden Coburn having one of the best games of
scoring
his career.
Fiend.
Yeah.
Scoring fiend.
and Slater Cuckoo also kind of impressing people, which Dory I know is very happy about.
I'm tempering my excitement for Slater Cuckoo. I just want to say it's taking everything I have not to freak out.
It's funny when he scores, I want to text Dory and be like, he scored! like she's his mother or something, you know? But what have you thought, other than of Braden Coburn, the scoring fiend, what have you thought of the other players on that defensive core who've really stepped up in Hedman's absence?
Well, first and foremost, this is why the trade with Ryan McDonough was so huge. In Hedman's absence, he can take over the number one defensive spot for a period of time. He can still play the 25 minutes. He's done an incredible job so far this year, just being a calming influence back there. You know, there hasn't been a lot talked about him, which is always a good thing if you're
mm-hmm.
a defenseman, because either we're talking about you scoring a lot of goals or we're talking about you giving up a lot of goals. And he's just been steady. And that's a great start. And, you know, we talk about Coburn. Coburn's skating exceptionally well. He's skating like a guy that's 5 years younger than he is right now. I mean, he's just really looking good on the ice. I'm not sure if it was some stuff he did in the off season, you know, just to train differently, but he's skating well. I'm happy with 2-2-2, and, you know, this is important. You know, there's three guys that they're in their final years of their deal, and two of them are almost guaranteed not to come back. So there's room for Slater Cuckoo on this team in the future. And it was very, and it's very important that this organization sees what he's capable of. We know that he can play. We saw it in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2016. We know what he's capable of, and it's just getting it down consistently. And you know, this is good that he's had a 4, 5, 6 game stretch where he can just, you know, where he can play well. He's made great defensive plays. He had a great goal against Nashville, tremendous shot. I was really impressed with the placement of his shot and the aggressiveness in which he took the shot. But overall, I thought he's done an exceptional job defensively. He's made some great understated plays, some great plays to break up rushes. He seems to be engaged, and he wasn't last year. I think for him, from what I've heard, is that not playing at all in the playoffs last year was a serious wake up call to him. And you know, hopefully, you know, this is a sign of things to come. He's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna get. Obviously, when Hedman comes back, he's probably going to go back to the bench for a while. But, you know, again, with him, it's a long game. They're still not, you know, they're going to need defensemen next year. And given where the cap is, you know, it's going to be up to some younger guys to fill those roles. So I'm excited about what he's shown me so far. You know, when you go further, guys like Strawman, you know, you know what you're going to get out of Anton, and he's still able to, you know, he's still able to bring that effort. He's still, you know, really smart with the puck. He can still do a lot of things. Sergachev is, you know, I don't know. What do you ladies think of Sergachev? I feel like he's had his moments. He's, you know, I was hoping to see a little bit more of a jump this year, but maybe, you know, with Hedman and McDonough, you know, there hasn't really been that opportunity for him to really establish himself as, you know, one of the, you know, the main core guys on the main guys on the D core yet. At times I've seen it, and he's still very good on the power play.
I'd
like to see more from him.
Yeah, with Sergachev, I'm holding my breath a little bit more this season, I feel like. But again, we forget he was only with the Lightning last year.
And he was, what, like 18?
He's very young for a defenseman, so I still think Sergachev is going to be here for the long haul. Like, he's just so young, and he's just got so much, you know, I see the potential in him. Because it was clicking for him so early.
Yeah. And he's 20 years old now. So, I mean, we're, but I just, you know, I'd like to see more from him as the season goes on. I think we will. You know, just a little bit of a slow start. And, you know, I think he's still adjusting to a lot of things out on the ice. Mm-hmm. But, and when he rounds into form, I mean, this is a strong, you know, the Lightning aren't known for having a strong D core, but when these guys are healthy and they're all playing well, this is easily a top 10 group in the league.
Yeah, I think the Ryan McDonough was the mm-hmm. catapult, was what changed it for the Lightning, really kind of shoring up that defense, because it was always giving me a heart attack. But with the Ryan McDonough trade, that was definitely an upgrade for sure. So we're speaking with Corey Long of NHL.com. Before we let you go, we want to get your thoughts on Matthew Joseph. Speaking of, you know, Yanni Gourdes and Braden Points, these kids who come up from the farm system and just blow us away. Matthew Joseph, I feel like he's on the doorstep. Like, all of a sudden, it's just going to be one game where we see goal after goal after goal. This kid's speed, I feel like he's carrying the, like, our team is fast, but I feel like sometimes we can slow down to the speed of the other teams. But Matthew Joseph, he's like a rocket when he comes off that bench.
Yeah, the speed is the first thing that really stands out to you, stands out to anybody. The effort, I love what he's doing on the defensive end. I really love what he's doing on the penalty kills. I think him and Cirelli understand their roles. You know, it's unfortunate that he hasn't gotten that, you know, that goal yet, because he's been so close. He was so close in the Nashville game, and he's wrong. He's hit a few posts, and it's funny. My great friend of the Associated Press, Mark Didler, has jokingly started calling him J.T. Brown.
But oh, no! Party foul.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's coming for him. And I think the good thing with him is I think he knows it's coming. I think he understands he's doing the right things. He's not trying to change anything that, you know, make unnecessary changes. And it's just this belief that if he continues down this path, these points, these goals, everything's going to come. He created that Tuku goal in the Predators game, but unfortunately, two more guys touched the puck before he got the assist. But he created that goal.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. He was the guy that kept the puck. He was the guy that worked the puck around behind the net. He was the one that set up the play. So he's doing tremendous things when he's out there on the ice. I mean, you notice him when he's out there.
Yeah.
That's the best thing you can say about a young guy like that. There's a tremendous upside there. And, you know, I think we're going to – and I'm like you. I believe when he breaks through, you know, he's going to be a really nice calming influence that he got the first one out of the way. And a lot more are going to come.
I also think that Cooper's so good with coaching the young guys. And he, you know, Sorelli's a young guy. There's a lot of young guys on this team. We look at it as a veteran team, and they are. It's nice, even. I like the way it's built. But I think it probably is keeping, you know, him from getting discouraged is he has a coach like Cooper. And players like Braden Point and Steve Sam, who are telling him, like, hey, man, you're doing everything right. Don't, you know, let up. It's going to happen. It just sometimes these things happen.
Yeah, and you know, he's working hard.
Mm-hmm.
He worked hard to get here. He had a tremendous training camp. He's working even harder to keep this spot. As we talked about Gord earlier, and Inga, you know, you can tell that the fire to be in the NHL every day burns hot within, mm-hmm. Hot within him. He just wants to be out there. So I'm not worried about the goals. I think right now, if you really want to know what Matthew Joseph, what he's doing so well is he's keeping his side of the net clean. The PK has been tremendous, and that a lot of that's been him and Sorelli. So the fact of the matter is that even though he's not scoring the goals, he's not giving them up either.
Yeah, and it's perfect segue, Corey. It's like you can read my mind. Let's talk about the special teams, because a lot of the sports people out there were saying, you know, the Lightning, they have it. It's just the special teams. They need to fix the penalty kill, the power play. They need to fix the special teams. And by gosh, I feel like we've kind of done that a bit. So now it's like, what now? Because I feel like every season it was like, we need to shore up our defense. We need to get healthy. Now it's like, we need to shore up our power play and our penalty kill. And I feel like we've done that. So what has your thoughts been on the special teams thus far this season?
I think, you know, the one thing that's made the PK so much better is they finally stuck with units. You know, it's been so much mixing and matching last year and trying to figure it out. And I think they decided in the offseason we're going to commit to four guys, you know, two units of four guys apiece. We're going to commit to these guys, and we're going to let them figure it out. And I think it just makes the PK so much better when guys can play, when guys know what they're going to, know what their roles are, know what their responsibilities are, and they can play together, and they can understand the traits of their teammates, and they can understand what everybody's assignment is, and know what situations they need to handle, and what situations they know that their teammate's going to be able to handle. And it's slipped out on both ends. I mean, we've seen quite a few little shorties this year, because several shorthanded opportunities because guys seem to have a much better idea of what they need to do out of the penalty kill and what's expected of them. Power play, I was never that concerned with. Power, you know, with this sort of offensive skill, you're going to get goals on the power play. It had a rough stretch at the beginning of the season where they weren't able to get some, but now those goals are starting to come. There's no reason the Lightning shouldn't be a top five power play in the league with the arsenal of offensive talent that they have out there.
Yeah, if I'm a team who's going into a penalty kill, I'm worried if I'm playing against the Lightning for sure. And even now on a power play,
yeah,
I'm worried.
A power play isn't even giving anybody an advantage at this point, and they're 94% or some. Let's be honest. It's a ridiculous amount of kills that these guys are getting. I mean, it's not. It's just not an advantage.
Less than a year ago, they were like 29th in the league.
All you're doing is giving one of our guys a rest for a couple minutes.
I mean, there was a point last year when, you know, when this team went on the PK, you were marking down the goal. You knew it was coming, and it was generally kind of coming within the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's a difference. Like, I think, I mean, I was shocked when they get like, well, someone finally got a power play goal. That's a surprise.
I know. It's like you just kind of expect it now, which is kind of nice to know that, you know, it's not doom and gloom every time we have a guy go in the box. We kind of know what to do and might even get a shorty, which I still am shocked every time we get a shorty. I'm still shocked. So
there's nothing better than a shorthanded goal.
There's nothing better.
Better for the team that scores or more deflating for the team that gives them up.
I'm so happy that we figured out the penalty kill for sure. Thank you so much, Corey Long. We love running into you at Media Dining, and we love having you on our show. Can you remind everybody where they can find all of your amazing articles and where they can follow you on social media?
Yeah, all my writings are at NHL.com, the National Hockey League's official website. And, of course, I'm on Twitter at Corey Long. That's CoreyLong. I love being on the show, and I would do anything for CT and Dory.
Aw, thanks, Corey.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, so let's talk. The other big news that came out last week is we have a Lightning player going into the Hall of Fame, in case you didn't know.
Right.
Marty St. Louis. The Hall of Fame inductions are on November 12th, but at the November 21st game versus the Panthers, they're going to do a celebration for Hall of Fame, at that point, Hall of Famer Marty St. Louis.
Yeah, and he also is the, you know, first player to have his number
jersey retired.
Yeah, his jersey retired from the Lightning. So I definitely expect them. And we've seen them honor, I guess, pay respect to guys that come back. You know, we saw it with Marty. We saw it, of course, with Vinny. We saw it with Brian Boyle.
Yeah.
We see it with all these people, these players that are just so, you know, near and dear to Lightning fans. So this is, I think, going to be a huge, huge, you know, just what he meant to the organization and of course, being in the Hall of Fame. We don't have a lot of players in the Hall of Fame.
No.
So this is obviously a huge deal. And I think do you think it's going to be kept a little more under wraps?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it's the night before Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it. I'm so bummed.
I know.
I think a lot of Lightning fans that would normally be there might not be there just because of, you know, holiday travel and everything. But I'll be watching on Fox Sports Go.
Yeah.
On my app. I'll be watching. But no, I mean, no matter what the Lightning do, they always do it the right way. So
yeah, they do, for sure. And listen, I've seen a lot of people kind of, we have to let go of what happened.
Oh, I think we've...
There are people still not let go.
And, really? Yeah. I kind of let go once they'd retired his jersey.
Yeah,
I was like, you know what?
Me too. And we talked about that. That's it. We're done.
Yeah.
From now on, he's a future Hall of Famer. He, as much as everybody, and I'm not taking anything away from Dave Vaynerchuk, because we all love Dave Vaynerchuk, but, you know, a lot of people believe had it not been for Marty St. Louis, they wouldn't have a cup to begin with.
Right.
He was just outstanding, of course, you know, the game winner and everything. And, you know, you have to kind of look back at it and say what he gave this organization is just memories that nobody will ever forget. And he was a heck of a player. And he had to fight for all of it. This isn't a guy that was handed anything. And, you know, he wasn't the number one draft pick, and you know, his face all over everything. You know, he kind of happened upon the Lightning, I guess, maybe.
Well, he was signed by the Lightning as a free agent on July 31st of 2000. All right. He appeared in 972 games with the Bolts and served as captain from 2013 to 2014. He is the franchise's all-time leader for points with 953, assists with 588, game-winning goals with 64, and shorthanded goals with 28. And he ranks second for games played and goals with 365, as well as the third for power play goals with 96. When you think about this, you know, Marty was an undrafted guy out of Quebec, and he's like the second, you know, it's just, he's the franchise's all-time leader for points. I mean, this was an undrafted guy who the Lightning kind of took a chance on, weren't expecting much, I don't think.
Probably not. I think that's fair.
And then he just kind of bowls him over and just produces these kind of numbers, and now is being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I mean, the story is pretty amazing. It's almost like a Disney story. It's like the little engine that could.
Yeah.
And, you know, there weren't a lot of little guys like that in the league that were doing that kind of stuff, putting up those kind of numbers. You just didn't see it. I mean, it was the days of the bigger guys and the hitting and, you know, all that. Now you look around the league and every team has two or three of these kind of guys. So I'm not saying he was like the one who like transitioned the league into this kind of more skilled speed kind of thing. I think it was a culmination of a lot of things that happened.
But Paul Kariya.
Paul Kariya. There was a slow change into this kind of thing. And when the Lightning saw what they had in this little engine that could, I mean, really, kind of changed the trajectory of the Tampa Bay Lightning when he came in.
I also, and the league in a way, you know, along with the Paul Kariyas who played over the, you know, the same era. The other thing that I think is going to be really cool for anybody that watches this Hall of Fame, this ceremony this year is for, you know, as much as, you know, they show Dave Andrechuk hoisting the cup and everything. Remember, he played on quite a few teams.
Yeah, he was a journeyman.
I don't care what you say about Marty St. Louis. He is always going to be a Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yep.
I don't think of him as playing for the Rangers. I know he had a short stint in Calgary. I don't even know if he played a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is a Tampa Bay Lightning player. And this is going, I think, the NHL, it's going to be a lot of Marty St. Louis in the blue and white.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not the highlights of him.
Yeah, in the induction ceremony.
Yeah.
I mean, the highlight of his career was, I mean, I have not spoken with him, but I would think the highlight of his career is hoisting that Stanley Cup in the Lightning logo.
Yeah, so I think that this is going to be really neat for Lightning fans to watch this Hall of Fame in particular, because with Marty going in, it's going to be Lightning heavy, and you're going to see, you know, the Brad Richards and the, you know, Vinny LeCavier and all those guys that he won the cup with, and how, I mean, they were just such a great team.
Yeah.
A lot of torts moments, maybe.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love those?
I love a good torts moment.
Everybody
does. I think everybody in the media loves a good torts moment.
So I just think it's going to be a really neat thing to watch to see how, you know, it's going to be the I don't want to say the good years, because I think we're in the good years, but, you know, the building.
Yeah. And, you know, as a Lightning fan, we haven't seen any.
Yeah.
Just mainly Lightning players go in. So to kind of have that light shed on this team, I mean, obviously it was shed on the team when Dave Andrechuk was inducted, but like you said, he played for numerous amount of teams.
And there are people out there that will always forever say he's a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Absolutely.
No matter how many, he could have won three cups with the Lightning.
Right. He will always be a Maple Leaf to some people.
Yeah.
But Marty St. Louis, I feel like he will always be a Lightning player.
I feel like that too.
You know? So it'll be nice to see, you know, the Bolt blue.
And to see, I also, when they do their little celebration, that, not little, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be huge, but I'm interested to see who it comes out.
Yeah. It'll be, you know, the Lightning never do it halfway.
No.
So that's November 21st, the night before Thanksgiving, when the Lightning play the Panthers at Amalie Arena. If you don't have tickets to it, get tickets to it. If you have family coming in town, get them tickets
to it.
It'll be something they'll probably be talking about forever.
And it's another kind of push for the Panthers to be our rival.
Yeah.
I swear. I just feel like...
Well, I mean, when you think of... the geography.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
It makes sense.
I've been trying for two seasons. I've been trying to make them a rival. It's just...
I think it's... Well, you know, there's a contest that one of the sponsors of the Lightning is doing, Road to the Rivalry or something, uh-huh. where they're going to... bus winners to the game.
See?
And the Panthers.
I'm telling you.
You know?
Now we need to have one of those winter classics somewhere, maybe in the Everglades, neutral territory somewhere. No?
No, okay. I can't imagine a sheet of ice in the Everglades.
You never know.
Maybe, oh, you know what? Maybe. How about a winter classic up in Tallahassee where then the FSU Seminoles play?
That
might be kind of neat.
That might be neat. That
you know,
neat.
A little cooler
a little
up there
cooler.
In the panhandle at some points of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I feel it's coming and I don't think, you know, I don't want to get into this whole like, about the Panthers or anything like that, because goodness knows that the first show of the season, I made a very small comment about the Maple Leafs maybe being good in this, you know, being the year that they get it together. And, you know, I'm kind of hating myself ever since those words left my mouth, because the hockey guys were like, that's a wonderful idea. We should make this happen.
Well, I mean, they have John Tavares. They've got a couple guys up there.
Yeah. And it's Mike Babcock. I knew that was my point. It's
like
gonna
just a matter of time.
Yeah. So I don't want to say anything about too nice about the Panthers at this point. I've decided not to say nice things about other teams,
well,
even if they're objective.
Right now, the Panthers are 10th.
Well, yeah, but geez, we have how many games left?
10th in the wild card.
There's a lot of games. If I say
they
it,
have,
you watch,
they
they're going to go on a 19-game win streak.
They have 3 wins right now.
And I'm going to give them 19 if I say anything
boy.
Nice about them.
Okay. All right. So Dory's not going to say anything nice about the Panthers for the rest of the season. Is there anybody else that you don't want to say anything nice about? Let's see. Who's, Toronto, Boston, doing pretty good right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it works in opposite. Maybe if I say nice things about Boston, they start not doing well.
I don't know. I'm afraid to test it.
Yeah, I don't think we should test it.
It's kind of interesting, though, because I know there have only been like 10 to 12 games played, but, okay, so top of the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic Division, Tampa, Toronto, Boston, mm-hmm. and the Metro, the Islanders.
I know.
Pittsburgh and Columbus. Nobody's surprised about Pittsburgh. In the Western Conference, in the Central Division, Nashville, Minnesota, Winnipeg, and in the Pacific, Calgary, Vancouver, and Edmonton. I mean, really, even 3 games into the season, did anybody see that?
No, definitely not the Pacific. But, you know, Columbus has been hanging in there for a while. They've been a playoff team. So I'm not too, shocked about that. The Islanders, though.
Yeah, and they're coming in here this week.
They are. So
I'm excited Valtteri Filppula plays for the Islanders now.
Oh, gosh.
I'm excited. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of...
The West is so wild. It really is. And I'm not shocked by Winnipeg. There were people last year thinking, I don't know, Winnipeg and Edmonton may... these are 2 teams that may go all the way.
Before the season started, a lot of people were saying it's going to be Tampa-Winnipeg in the final.
Interesting.
You know, so I'm not surprised about Winnipeg, but Minnesota being up there. I'm more surprised about the Pacific Division Calgary, Vancouver are all up there.
Yeah. That's
but, you
shocking.
Know, the dichotomy of the league and everything, it's early. There's some teams have played 15 games or so.
Yeah.
While others have played like just over 10 or 11. But, you know, things will shuffle out and level out, and I have a feeling like there'll always be that one team in the end where you're like, where did they come from?
Yeah.
Nobody was talking about them at the beginning of the season. And there's always like usually one team, but this, if you look at it right now, you know, if the season was to end today, I mean, you would go, what?
Yeah.
What's happening? But we're only just a month in.
Yeah, and I don't even think we really know. Let me rephrase that. I don't think you can really actually tell who a team is until December.
Absolutely.
So
even, you know, when we're always like predicting, oh, you know, the Lightning, they're going to be great this year. You never know, because you have those chess pieces there. But how long, and are they going to be healthy? Another month or so.
Yeah.
So to really know where everything shakes out.
So don't get all excited there, Toronto.
Or Vancouver.
Because there's plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of time for things to go the other way, too, for teams that are doing really well. So let's not taunt the hockey guys.
I'm not. I'm taking back my...
Okay.
Taking back what I said. See, I feel like because I threw it out in the universe, I can take it back.
Oh, okay then. I like it.
All right.
But however it makes, whatever makes you feel better, but I'm still going to be the one doing my pregame rituals. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. It was great to be back in the studio with Dory. Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at GameWithAZConduct, and we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.